So I want to welcome everyone to our first meetup of the year. This is Entrepreneurs and Solopreneurs, and we were just getting to know everybody that's on the call today. Again, Linda and Sherry are out of Pennsylvania. Debbie and I are in Central Ohio, and Taj is all the way in Toronto, Canada. So welcome today. And we start at the top of everything that we've been learning about building a better business. And sometimes, this is step number one, but it's also step number 13 at the end of the 12 months because it changes. You write down what your promise is to your audience or to your customer base, what it is you're bringing to the table, what you're going to promise to do for them. And then as you get more clarity, as you go through the program, you realize that you need to change your promise and make it a little different. And the other thing that I've noticed, for all of us that have done a value proposition statement or your 30-second commercial, if you will, or your elevator speech, it's called all those things, depending on what circle of folks you're networking with. I've discovered that we get down in the weeds too far. We try to draft out this very intelligent sounding BPS on what our promise is, and we use words that maybe our audience doesn't even understand. And so, what I want to do today is I want to talk to each of you about how you respond when in all different situations. Let's say you're at Thanksgiving dinner and somebody says, "Oh, gee, Linda, what is it that you do?" Or, "Gee, Sherry, what do you do?" Debbie, Taj, what do you do? How do you explain that in basically a sentence or two? I'm not talking where you go off onto this, "Well, back in 1969, I decided," and try to bring them up to speed on what it is that you do. What is that promise, that hook, if you will, something that you can say that would make even family members lean in and it not sound salesy? It not sound like you're bragging. It's not sounding like you're all that, like, "Well, I own blah, blah, blah," and the rest of the family looks around and goes, "Oh, well, good for her," And you don't want to alienate in the conversation. You want to be inclusive in the conversation. And so, how do you, I'll say, boil that down into the core purpose of what you're doing? And so I've come up with several different variations of my VPS, and I use them interchangeably depending on the circumstance that I'm in. And so I want to talk about how I do that. So to begin with, I'm going to share my screen, and we've got Estella coming in. So I am going to share here, and let me find my home screen. This is my website. And so I'm showing this to everyone. And again, many of you have seen it many times. But when you scroll down, my VPS in writing, the one when I'm talking about my academy is right here. I'm teaching you how to be healthy and how to create passive income. I'm coaching you how to get there faster, design your path so that you can experience freestyle living. Now, the reason that I wanted to show you this is because the VPS should always be what you can do for the audience. It's not what you did for yourself. For example, when I'm in real estate, somebody goes, "Oh, what do you do?" "Oh, well, I'm an investor. I've got 28 doors." Everybody's like, "Well, good for her." It didn't say anything that I'm going to do for somebody else. It just said what I did for me. And so I have to turn that around and say, "Oh, I have a program and I teach folks how to go through the six F's of real estate investing, how to find it, how to fund it, how to fix it, how to flip it, how to fill it, and finally, what is your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make your day job optional?" Well, I have a lot of people that lean in on that one. So if I'm in a real estate marketing group or real estate investing group, I don't use the school one. I don't use this VPS. I use the one about I teach the six F's of real estate: how to find it, how to fund it, fix it, how to flip it, how to fill it, and finally, what is your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make your day job optional? And by then, people are leaning in, going, "Ooh," I go, "It's fewer than you think." And then they're like, "Ooh, tell me more. What do you mean it's fewer? How many?" So all of a sudden, they're asking for the conversation to go on. Does that make sense? So if I'm just out in a social environment where, I'm not, I'm not salesy. I don't want people to think like, oh, every time Kathy shows up, she's always trying to sell us on that school or on that real estate program. So one of the other things that I do, and the reason that I want to bring this to your attention, when you come back to the top on my website, you'll see, I got to move this little bar here, you'll see where I have a giving back page. This is always, and here's, this is a hack that all of you can use. On the giving back page, it shows how I give, and everybody loves a giver. And so join us in giving. And I talk about the four or five different things that I do in giving. And I come down here, and here is click on the picture to get this scholarship. Click here to learn more about the Foster Hub. Click here on the B1G1 and see how it works. And then finally, and I've got room for more. And finally, here's one about how I give through the chamber. And I've got room for two more on this slide. And then I can even add another slide with three more. So I can do as many givings as I want. And so when somebody says in a social environment, oh, what is it that you do? I say, oh, I have an international academy, but our main focus is to be able to give around the world, to give scholarships. I help with donating uniforms for school students in other countries, fresh water initiative. We have all kinds of initiatives. I help folks that want to start their own business. I help them learn how to build a better business. And all of that is through scholarship programs and giving. So all of a sudden, they're leaning in saying, oh, really? Tell me more about what you're doing. How do you do that? And then the conversation can open up. So you see where this is a huge, this giving back is a huge way to create a VPS that doesn't make your audience go, oh, I'm not sure I want to know more. She's going to try to sell me. It's like, for example, if you need a new car, you already know that you need a new car. So when you go to the dealership and you're just on the lot, you're just at the beginning stages. You haven't decided what kind of a car you want. You're at the beginning stages and you think, I'm just going to go look. And all of a sudden, as soon as you pull in, you see two or three salespeople headed toward you. What do you think? How do you feel? They haven't even said hi yet. And all of a sudden, you're already going, I don't want to be sold. Don't try to sell me a certain car. I'm just looking. And so sometimes I think we get so ingrained in running our business and trying to push the business forward and trying to take that next step that sometimes I think we come across a little salesy or a little stiff or a little canned, like, somebody says, oh, what is it you do? And you launch into this, well, I blah, and all of a sudden you put on your professional hat and it's like you're on stage and you're giving them the spiel on what it is that you do. And that oftentimes makes people want to kind of put you at arm's length. Because again, they're like, oh, just trying to get to know her a little bit better or know him a little bit better, didn't really want the whole story. And I've been at a couple of networking events, even. And the whole purpose of a networking, business networking event, is to get to know these other businesses and to try to make connections. And sometimes you'll have somebody that'll latch on to you because if you show a little bit of interest and lean in just a little bit, all of a sudden they're thinking, oh, they're going to buy, Kathy's going to buy, and they follow me around. And I'm trying to figure out how to lose them because I can't even talk to other folks because this one person is latched on because I showed a little too much interest. So then I learn from that, oh, don't show any interest because you don't want them to attach themselves to you for the whole event. And so it's a balancing act between reading your audience, knowing just how far you want to take your story, because your story is your marketing, but you want to just give a sentence or two off the cuff, very casual, no matter where you're at. You never want it to sound canned or pitched or make it feel to the other person like you're trying to reel them in on a sale. You're just building a relationship. Anytime somebody says, what is it that you do? It's all about building the relationship. So as soon as you give your one or two sentence on what it is you do, what value you're bringing, like, oh, I'm bringing a course if you're a real estate investor. What is it that you do? Turn it around and ask them right away. and get them talking. And see, then you're building a relationship, because then when they say what it is they do, and don't expect them to have their pitch down or their VPS or their 30-second commercial, don't expect theirs to be as good as yours because you've been in this class and you've decided to make yours more casual and inviting and open-ended. They may not. So they may make it sound like they're trying to sell you. But at that point, that's where you, with your personality, need to rise above that and create that bond and relationship, and not just make it about what each other's what your job is or what your business is or what it is that you're bringing to the table. Does that make sense to everybody so far, what we're talking about? And Estella, I want to say welcome. I was right in the middle of chatting there with the group as you jumped on, so welcome, glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes,
Happy New
first
Year,
meet,
everyone.
yes, first meetup of the year. Thank you. So I want everybody to think just a moment about what their promise is. And if I'm talking to, again, you have to meet your audience where your audience is. So let me give you some examples. If I am invited to be a speaker at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon, for example, which we have those all over the country, and it's very easy to get a speaking gig there. And when we do our speaker module, I've mentioned this before, you can get in front of a lot of people speaking faster than any other way to market your business. And of course, we'll get to that as we go through the year. We'll cover that speakers module again. But when we cover that, we just say, when you're ready, take on some of those speaking gigs, because it's so easy to get in front of a much larger group and get your message out, whatever your message is. And it doesn't matter whether it's a ministry or a business or a hobby. It doesn't matter. When you're communicating, it's all about building relationships. It's not about selling the other person. And I don't know about you, but when I actually have a genuine conversation with someone and we're both leaning in, we do decide that we want to get together later. It's not about trying to, like I said, trying to, oh, I need to get away from this person because whatever they're selling, I'm not buying. And sometimes people come into an event with they've predetermined, I'm not buying anything. I'm not spending any money today. I'm just going to go and listen. And so it's hard to get past that wall. So you have to just be able to read people a little bit and get to know. And again, it's all about the relationship. So if I'm at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon and they say, Kathy, can you talk, for 20 minutes at this luncheon, be our guest speaker today, I have to decide what message do I want to bring to that group. So if I'm speaking to a Chamber of Luncheon group, the first thing I know is I'm going to have about in Canal Winchester, I'm going to have about 40 people in the room or 50, 40 or 50 people in the room. I'm going to have a lot of folks that I already know because I'm already a business owner in this community and they're all business owners in the community. And it doesn't hurt that the Chamber of Commerce rents an office space in my office building. And so when I go to the Chamber luncheon, I know that I'm going to be talking to a group of business owners that have all different businesses. It's not going to be just a real estate group. It's not going to be just a salon group. It's not going to be just a writer's group. It's going to be a ton of folks from all different businesses. So I'm going to go in with my giving. I'm going to go in with my giving page and I'm going to say, I have an international academy. I have five different lanes of courses. And the biggest takeaway that I want you today to take away from this is that I am giving back and how their business can also give back. And so then they can connect with me if they want to learn how to do that. So you see where I can just tailor that and it doesn't make anybody feel like they want to run from the room. Okay. Now, if I'm again in with a group of real estate investors, I'm going to lead with my course on the six F's of real estate investing. If I'm in a writer's group, I'm going to talk about how we have a Zoom meetup once a month for newbie writers. And our big end of the year aha moment is the writer's workshop over in Yellow Springs. And folks will lean in on that if they're wanting to be a writer. And I talk about the actual workshop and that we have publishers that come to the workshop that will, and they get to see how the publishers evaluate the different stories on which ones they want to publish. And so if somebody's wanting to be a writer, they're going to lean in there and they're going to say, oh yeah, I might be interested in that. Tell me more about that. If I'm talking, again, I don't have a course on salons. I had salons for 25 years, so I know a lot about the salon industry. And I get invited a lot to talk to a stylist or even students at a school level that are getting into cosmetology. And so I just talk about the salon business and how you can, own your own business. And because that was kind of my sweet spot in the salon business, was owning not only my own salon, but owning my own building and buildings. I ended up with 5 salons by the time I retired. And so if I'm talking to a group of stylists, I'm going to talk about being a salon owner and how they too can be a salon owner and how they can turn that salon career into passive income. Because again, my underlying message on everything I do is passive income. So you can see where I can just talk very candidly, very casually, off the cuff. It's not scripted. It doesn't sound like I'm getting on my soapbox. It doesn't sound like I'm trying to sell somebody something. Does that make sense? So think about if I would ask you, I'm getting in the elevator. Okay, who am I going to pick on? Who's ready? I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Raise your hand if you think you're ready. I'm going to ask you, if I got onto the elevator with you, and we had 3 or 4 minutes to go from one floor to the next, and I turned to you and said, what is it that you do? What would you say? Who wants to try that? Taze, you want to try it? Okay.
What I do is make the digital world safer for businesses and users by preventing or protecting them against digital threats. And if they are affected, helping them respond and recover.
Okay. Okay. Short and sweet. And the elevator door opened. And then the only thing you forgot is to turn around and say, how about you? What is it that you do at the very end? Because again, you're trying to build that relationship. Yeah. And again, if it's something, let's say I'm at a seminar and we're going to lunch and we're both going to get off at the same floor to go to lunch. I very well could lean in and continue that conversation as we walk down the hall toward the cafeteria, wherever we're headed. And I could actually say, well, yeah, tell me, especially if you said, well, what is it that you do? Well, I don't want to like miss that opportunity. And so I would continue to walk with you and have a conversation. So yes, great job. Who else wants to give that a try? Sherry.
So I used to feel lost helping students with math. One day, a mom asked me to help her kid with fractions. And my background is an occupational therapist.
Okay,
I even have a minor in math, but I couldn't do it.
The elevator door is opening. And we're getting off the elevator now. So now, how are you?
So what I found out is I can help kids with math. How about you?
Oh, interesting. I have a kid that's having trouble with math. Tell me more. Yeah. So you see where I'm going to lean in, especially if I can identify with the value that she's bringing to her audience. Does that make sense? So again, when I told her the elevator door was opening, she did get to the point right then. Because again, you don't want to chase your person down the hall out of the elevator. You want them to invite you to walk with them, like, oh, tell me more. You know, are you going? Yeah, I'm going to lunch. Yeah, come join me. Tell me more about that. Because again, it's all about building the relationship. Okay, anyone else? We've got Linda, Debbie, and Estella.
Linda. I am trying to think of a revamp or a new fresh take for what I'm doing to help entrepreneurs on the tech side. And I don't have an elevator pitch at all. And then okay. I do have what I have been using for the Legacy of Love project.
Okay. So let's say we went to a, let's just say we're at a women's conference, and women are, they're all over the map. They're doing all different kinds of things. A lot of them are business owners or entrepreneurs, and we're getting on the elevator. You don't know me at all. We're getting ready to go to the next floor to go to lunch. And I turn to you and say, oh, I saw you in the conference. What is it that you do, Linda?
Yeah. So I don't have anything good, but the gist, I think, is that I help people get their message out. Although that just sounds really lame, so I need to come up with something snappier. But the idea is how to get the good news of the great thing you do out to the world, and especially online, using, your own web presence, et cetera. So I got nothing that is concise, snappy, attention getting.
If it were me, I would say something like, I'm Linda Thomas. I help you get your message out to the world, and by helping you with all of the technical stuff that you hate, and I help you with a ton of resources.
Yeah, but I mean, even that, I mean, you're it's not focusing on the outcome, that's focusing on the process. It's the, we're It may be that bringing up the tech makes them say, oh, I really need help with that. But often I don't get a good response with that end. So it's thinking about trying to come up with something much more outcome-based.
Okay, because on my six F's of real estate, it is a process. I say when they, if they're an investor, they go, "What is it you do?" And I go, "Oh, well, I have this program," because everybody that's trying to move the needle from point A to point B, they're wanting a process to do that.
Yeah.
And if you can show them that you've got a proven process to do that, oftentimes they'll lean in there before they go for just the big picture outcome. And if I
Yeah.
say, oh, I teach the six F's, how to find the property, how to fund the property, how to fill it, how to fix it, how to flip it, then what's your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make your day job optional? So you see, I've hit on a couple of things. At
Yeah.
some point, there's a stopper in there. They can find it, but they don't know how to fund it, or they've got funding, but they can't find it. Or once they find it and fund it, they don't know how to find contractors to fix it. And so usually I'll hit a stopper for them and they'll
Yeah.
lean in because they'll go, oh, I need that. And then when I say, and you don't have to do too many to make that day job optional, and then I can even really throw a carrot out there and say, you only need about four to make your day job optional. And all of a sudden they're listening because they're like, really? I could like quit my job if I had four. If I could find and fund and fix four properties, I could quit my job. Yeah, you could. And so what I did is I gave them the process and the outcome. See, I gave them both. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it is. I still need to sit and try to apply that to my what I'm doing. But yeah, I think with what you described, something in that list is going to be a bit of a pain point for them to where they've been struggling and now they're all ears.
Now, what worked for me is having a little catchy way to give the process. I came up with the six F's of real estate. And now I made that up because I knew that you had to find the property and then you had to, but I, you know, then I knew that you had to like get the money. And I thought, okay, finding it is it starts with an F. Get the money. What would start with an F on getting the money, getting the mortgage? Oh, funding. Okay. And then I thought, okay, then you got to somehow get it ready, to either rent or sell, oh, fixing. There's an F. And so that just kind of came out. And the cute part is that I said it to a realtor friend of mine, and I said, she said, what are you doing today? And I said, oh, I've got a podcast. I'm going to teach the six F's of real estate. And she goes, oh, I learned that in real estate school. No, you didn't, because I made it up.
Yeah.
But it sounded like something she should have known from real estate school. So she just said, oh, yeah, I think I learned that in real estate school. No, I made up the six F's of real estate investing. My point in that is that you could come up with an acronym
Yeah.
or something to make your process.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what word you might use, but you could come up with a word and then, put each letter of that word as a step in your process. And kind of brand it that way.
Yeah.
So again, that's an easy way to put together a program is to use a word as your acronym.
Yeah,
So
and then
go
yeah,
ahead.
like you, and it becomes your thing that you're known for.
Yes.
Which is
Yes. As a matter of fact, everywhere I go in real estate, if I go to any type of a real estate group, they all know me as the passive income girl that teaches the six F's of real estate investing. And that's how I get introduced all the time when I'm in any type of an environment like that. So what about the one for your Legacy of Love project? Can you do that one off the top of your head?
What I have been saying is I help people create their own unique end of life plan so they can be a blessing to their loved ones instead of a burden.
Yes, I like that. So again, whatever group that you're in, you can change that up to make it fit the group. But yes, that's a good one for that one. So describes the program.
Thank
yes,
you.
I like that. Well, we'll help Linda think about some ways that she can move more into the technology piece. I know, again, Linda's been through the program, so we talk later on about affiliate marketing, and she's got some affiliate programs that she can make some money on in the tech side. She's got a great resource page with a lot of that information. And so now she just needs to put together some sort of a program, a step-by-step process, so that folks will lean in and say, I need to do that because I need to learn that step-by-step process and come out the other end. See, my promise is that I can show you how to passive income. I mean, that's the promise. I can show you how to passive income. Well, what's the step? Well, are we writing a book? Are we building a business? Are we investing in real estate? Doesn't matter. And again, I don't have a program about the salon business, but I could take a stylist through, I could create a program for a stylist in probably an hour. And once I talk to her and get a feel for where she is in the business, I could put together a program for her on how she can start where she is right now and turn that into passive income. Because again, at the end of the day, that's my overarching promise. Okay. So think about how you want to take your folks through those steps. Who else wants to go? We've got Debbie and Estella.
I'll go.
Okay, Estella, let's hear
my
yours.
Camera on. So when I meet people, and this is not refined,
nope.
At some point I'm going to refine it.
Nope, just toss it out there.
But and they say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I help people be able to resolve issues either in their business or personal lives by providing them with affordable access so that they can talk to an attorney without getting a bill.
Okay. Now, you can shorten that way down. If I'm in the elevator with you and I see, same scenario, we're at this conference, we're getting in the elevator, we're getting ready to go to lunch. I remember meeting you earlier and I go, oh, Estella, yes, I met you. What is it you do again? What's the last sentence? Tell me your last sentence on what you just said.
I just said that we help people be able to talk to an attorney without getting a bill.
There you go. That's it right there. That makes me lean in. And I'm like, really? How do you do that? See,
okay.
So now we're building relationships. But don't forget to say, oh, and how about you? What is it that you do?
Yeah. Okay. That's great.
Yeah,
well, the other piece that I need to add in there is the identity theft, which I could just say help people have access to be able to talk to an attorney without getting a bill, and also have a private investigator restore their identity.
Yeah, because again, how many times do we see that these days? Tons of times where
tons
people
of
are
time,
getting,
you
yes.
know, save them time and money by letting a private investigator restore their identity for less than a dollar a day.
Yeah. See, all of that is so powerful because it's so relevant to what's going on today. So that's very relevant. So once you feel comfortable saying that and you're ready, you can go to all kinds of business seminars and events and networking events and just constantly be out there. And all you're going to do is you're just going to sprinkle that seed wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a certain amount of that seed that is going to sprout, and they're going to lean in and say, I need you to tell me more because this just happened to my brother-in-law, or this just happened to my mom, or I just needed an attorney last week and I couldn't afford one, you know, so there's, And you just need to spread your wings a little bit
You
and
know,
get
you
out.
when you say that, I was just thinking that, and they say, "Well, what do you do?" Say, "Well, you probably have known someone who has needed an attorney, but they couldn't get one." Well, what I do is help people have access to be able to talk to an attorney without getting a bill.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Because we all either in our own lives or we know someone that has needed an attorney.
Yeah, I take it
And
off of them and just say, "You probably have known someone."
mhm.
And then what do
And
you
if
do? And then they'll say, "Tell me more." And so
yeah.
that's where I need, okay, so say, "I'd love to. Can I get 10, 15? Well, can I get about 20 minutes of your time? Maybe we could do coffee or something." Rather than trying to explain it right there, because
Right.
most times people want to know more, like right now.
Now, here's an observation. As soon as you say the phrase, "Could I have about 20 minutes of your time?" I feel like you're going to try to sell me something.
Okay, talk to
If
me.
you just said, "Hey, we should have coffee sometime."
Okay.
See, then I would be more open to having coffee with you, and then you and I say, "Now, how does this work?" And see, then when you're talking, you're just explaining how it works because I ask. Does that make sense? You're it's
Yes, it
about
does.
it's
And then
about
also
building
when
the
I've said that
relationship.
and I say, "How about you?" And then they tell me what they do, I say, then I could come back and say, "You know,
We
we
should
should
have coffee.
just
Yeah.
to see, you know, so maybe we could learn a little bit more about each other and how we might be able to support one another."
Yeah, and just build the relationship. And the goal should be building the relationship, not making a sale. The
Correct.
goal is building the relationship. The sale will automatically take care of itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
Yes, it
Debbie.
does.
Debbie, how are you doing?
No, I'm hanging in there. You know, it's just listening to everybody, it's given me a lot to think about. Because I'm in the process right now of relaunching. Okay.
Okay.
Saturday we had our normal beginning year launch for Melaleuca, and there was so much focus, or there was focus on things, but you had to know what you were listening to. And being in the different sales businesses that I have, it gives me a lot to think about. So in that respect, I need to come up with a better line, a better word or verbiage. I know what my why is, and that's on my list that I'm going to put it in words so that I can memorize it. Even though I'm 71 young, the memory escapes me, right? Everybody, I'm sure we all
Oh
agree.
yeah. I had something stupid this morning. Mark and I were talking, and I couldn't pull the word out of the hat. And he was saying, "Oh, you too,
It
huh?"
is so easy to do, but you know, it's this is a good thing to be tuned into, because it gives me something more to think about, and I don't know exactly what my short, you know, verbiage would be, so I have to work on it. Because initially, I think if I want to say this, 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 and this, and I'm sure everybody feels the same way. And so I got to narrow it down to one thing that incorporates all of it.
Well, or make it more general, depending on your audience, you know, depending on your audience. If you're again, we're going to use the same scenario. If we're out at a conference, I see you across the room, we get in the elevator, we're headed to lunch, and I go, "Oh, Debbie, I met you earlier this morning. Now, what is it that you do?" And now you only have a sentence or two because the elevator doors are going to open and we're going to get out of the elevator. And I might have to be somewhere and just leave you hanging. So what would you say if you only had a sentence or two? And I said, "What is it that you do, Debbie?"
Well, the one thing I would say is I want to help people feel better. But that's too generic. I mean, everybody says that.
Okay,
So.
how about, and again, very just like Estella, this is very timely messaging right now with the world that we live in. How about something like, I help you how to live organically?
Yeah.
Because you go to the grocery store, people know what that means. They see the organic section of food. You know, there's all talk about getting the toxins out of your house, out of your cleaning supplies, out of your laundry soap. And that's all the stuff, the book that's coming out for me, it's called Biohacking Entrepreneur. And so one of the things is how about supplements? Well, all of that is what Melaleuca does. And so if you say I can show you how to live a lot more organically and get a lot of the chemicals out of your life, and at the end of the day, you're going to feel better. Your life is just going to be better.
Well, and it's interesting because, as you stated, I learn more about our economy, our processing of growing food and the vegetables and the fruit and the pesticides and everything that they go put into giving the farmer a better product to sell at the
A better
market.
yield. Yeah.
And it's
Debbie, let's just call it what it is. It's how the farmer can make more money.
and that's the truth. That's the truth. It doesn't matter what it does to us. So, and I'll just do a little plug here. One of the main products that we have just come out with, there was this commercial on TV with this big push of but you can only buy it online, and it's that fruit and vegetable wash. I don't know what it's called, but it's missing one key point. And we've always had products that we use to do that with, but now this product gets more to the root of what we need to be aware of in the products that we're buying at the grocery store. To even though we're buying organic and or, I didn't mean that. Even though we're buying the fruits and vegetables in the grocery stores, so now we have a product just for that, and it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. We are always keeping up with the times, and we're always keeping up with the changes that go on.
But you see how important your message is to the world today. And so you would have a huge audience that's interested in what you do. But again, like Estella, you need to go out and sprinkle those seeds, go out there and get into some networking groups, rub elbows, just and give your message and build those relationships. Because everybody wants to feel better. But if you just say, oh, I help you feel better, they're like, what are you, a fitness instructor? Are you, what are you? But if you say, I can show you how to buy organically, and get all the chemicals out of your food, out of your food sources, out of your cleaning supplies, out of your laundry, and at the end of the day, you're going to feel a lot better.
Right.
And you're going to be a lot more healthy. Yeah.
And here's the other thing I think of when you say that you help you feel better. A lot of people will say, oh, you're just a pill pusher, a vitamin pusher type thing. And no, because there's so much more involved.
Yeah, absolutely. But at this point, you just want to build the relationship. And some people will say, okay, that's nice. Yep, got to run. And other people will lean in and say, oh, can you tell me more? And you're, and again, I've said this all last year, and those of you that have been with me a while know this, your tribe will find you. Your
Yes.
tribe will find you. Your cup of tea is not for everyone. And I'm not saying that it's not valid for everyone. What I'm saying is they're not ready. They're not at a place where they need your service. Like, for example, right now, I have a car that runs just fine. So I can see car ads all day long and I'm going to pass them by because I don't need a car right now. But you let my car quit running and I start convincing myself that I need to buy a new car, I'm going to notice every car ad that comes along because all of a sudden I'm going to be ready. So
Exactly.
your audience is out there, and it could be that they're just not ready right now. They don't
Right.
need your message or your products or services right now.
And that's why one of the key ingredients in, say, a contact list or prospects or whatever you want to categorize them, is that so many people, when they hear a no, they go, okay, fine. And that's it. They forget about them. But the point is, it's just like you just said, not now. That's the key. So, one of the things I heard was that three times a person enrolled, canceled, enrolled, canceled, enrolled, canceled, and now is building a huge business because now is the
It's
time.
the time, right?
And
Yes. Debbie,
so
that is a
believe
perfect point. Yes. So remember that for all of us, if we do have a marketing list, I send out a newsletter every Sunday. And my newsletter is so not salesy. It is just here's what's going on this week. Here's my calendar of events. Here's how you can click through if you want to learn more about our magazine or learn more about the academy or learn more, click through or not. But it's just the newsletter is just information. It is not salesy at all. And I can tell when I send out my newsletter how many people unsubscribe. I've maybe in 7 years have had five people unsubscribe in 7 years because they don't feel pressured by the newsletter. And finally, somebody will join the academy and then I'll say, "Oh, how did you hear about me?" And they'll say, "Oh, I've been getting your newsletter for years, but now it's time I need to join." So that just proves that that is correct. It just may not be the time right now for that person, but they're going to reach a point when they're not unsubscribing for a reason because they see that there's some value that I'm bringing to the table, and they want to keep getting my newsletter because and how many of us do that? Do you have some folks that you get emails from and you don't unsubscribe because you are interested in the content, you just don't have time right now. And you don't want it to disappear, so you don't unsubscribe. You let it keep coming in. You might delete it a few times, but you still let it keep coming in because you either have a relationship with that person, or you think maybe in the future you're going to maybe sign up for that. It's in the back of your mind. Like right now, I want to learn a foreign language, and so I researched language apps. Well, all of a sudden, I'm getting these emails, from these language apps, and I've zeroed into the one that I think I might want to use, and I don't delete that one because I keep thinking, yeah, when I get some free time, I'm going to explore that because that's the one I'm going to pick. I just haven't had time to explore it yet, but I keep it because I know I'm interested in it. Okay, does that make sense? And again, it's all about building the relationships and making yourself available when your buyer is ready to buy. So we are coming close to the top of the hour. Estella, are you at a place where you can turn your camera on for a second? I don't know if she can hear me. Yes. All right. Everybody smile. I'm going to take a screen print. Estella's like, wait.
Hey, that's kind of like why I was off camera. I
It's all good. Everybody's laughing. It's all
have
good. I love it.
to get some tips from you and Linda. Y'all look gorgeous.
Well, a cosmetologist taught me this, and I noticed Linda always has her face on. I love that about her. A cosmetologist taught me this. She said, when you get up first thing in the morning, she said, I get ready for the day, and then I never carry my makeup kit with me or whatever. She might have a lipstick in her purse, but she said, I don't carry anything with me. And she said, I might have a comb and a lipstick. But other than that, she said, I just get ready first thing in the day. Well, what happened to me is we've opened our house here into a guest house, a bed and breakfast. So, Taj, if you ever decide to come to Columbus, you can stay with us too, because we have a guest house in our home. But I never know when I'm going to have guests sitting in my living room. So I don't come out of the bedroom with my PJs and my hair, I kind of get totally ready before I walk out of the bedroom and I'm ready for the day. And so it doesn't matter where I go or what I do, I feel like I'm presentable. So, and that's just something I got into the habit of doing when I had the salons, because I had to go into the salon earlier in the day. And then once I was there, it was crazy busy. And so I would just always get, and I even had customers that would say that. They go, "You always have your mascara on." And I'm like, "Yep, I put my face on every morning. I do my hair every morning, and then I'm done for the day. That's the way I'm going to be the rest of the day. But I'm ready. I'm dressed and ready." And I believe, and this is a personal preference of mine, but I believe when you are up and dressed and you're ready to present yourself to the world, however you decide you want to show up for the world, when you are ready, I believe that you show up differently in the world. Am I
I
right?
agree.
Yeah. Because when you don't feel you're ready, you start to try to play small, and you start to try to for people to maybe not see you. And so I think if you get yourself ready, and now this is going to sound really dumb for those of us, because we're all working from home these days, I actually get ready and put my shoes on. I'm not in slippers. I actually am totally ready that I could walk out the door. I feel when I am dressed like that I am ready to go to work. And I show up differently. So that's just a personal little preference. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes, it
Okay.
does.
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
So, any aha moments today? Let's go around. I'm just going to call on you in the order that I see you on the screen. We're going to go around. I'm going to ask you if you had one aha moment for today. What would be your aha moment? And I'm going to start with Linda. She's at the top of my screen. And they're probably, we all show up differently on everybody's screen. But Linda, what would be a one aha moment for you today?
Just a great little reminder to always ask, and what about you?
That's a good one. That's a great one. Yes. Because again, we're building that two-way street. We're trying to build the conversation and build that relationship. Taj, what about you? Do you have an aha moment for today?
I think the point that you look for building relations rather than propose selling, like maybe like I would try to figure that out more. Like, yeah, I would give it more detailed thought.
Yes. That is so important, because if some nobody wants to be sold. Everybody wants to buy whatever it is they're interested in, but nobody wants to be sold. And even if it's something I'm interested in, I have a tendency to put my hand up if I'm being sold. So the relationship is the important piece. Yes. I love that. I love that. Sherry, how about you? Any ahas for today?
I think my ahas have gone beyond just today itself because I've been doing a lot of processing over the last couple years. But this past 2 weeks, we did not publish podcast, either one. And John Lee and I have been doing a lot of processing of our funnel system and how we're approaching people and how we're addressing the different people. And what you heard today was a result of that. So I don't think
Okay.
I had the aha moment today, but the aha moment in the processing have been much more clear
Okay.
over the last 2 weeks than they were before that. And I gotta give John Lee, my coach, a really pat on the back because she said something to me that helped open up that block that I had.
Can you share or no?
Okay, so I am the occupational therapist. She's the teacher, and we've been trying to figure out how to get OTs interested in the topic, and the conversation was just like eye-opening to say it this way to the OTs. So
Okay.
that's what I'm going to do. And we were working on funnel Okay. arrangement today and adding and changing things on in the platform. So yeah, it's been a journey, but
As it
here's
is,
your
and
update.
yeah, and the more that you go through, and again, Sherry has listened to the Build a Better Business program, and she has tweaked her website. And what I hear you saying right now is that you're making your website even more of a funnel to just lead. And again, it's what I said earlier. All of your customers are wanting a step-by-step process. When you just throw out the end result, if they can't see the steps, they'll have a tendency not to want to sign up. Everybody is looking for, my life is crazy busy. I've got the kids, I've got the job, I've got the husband or the spouse or whatever's going on. I got the house to take care of and the laundry, and I'm busy. If you'll hand me a step-by-step process that I can just go through the steps and get to that end result, I'm in.
And so my intro to my funnel is a webinar, and I'm going to teach them three different interventions. And at the end of that, I have a bundle that I have created to share with them.
Perfect. 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 And as we go through this program, we're going to talk about your storytelling is your marketing, how serving is your selling, how creating a website that looks like a funnel to the point that it has your step-by-step process, and then moving into what is your first base offer, second base, third base, what's your home run, and then how are you going to market all of that? How are you going to point back to that? How are you going to do your blogging, your podcasting, your speaking, your social media, all the stuff that's going to point back to the things that you do? And if you go to my website, and I know Taj is new, I'm going to put it in the chat. It's just kathybinner.com. Make sure I spelled my name right there. If you go there, it's the website page that I showed earlier. But if you just go down my home page, it takes you right through the storytelling, the marketing, right through the step-by-step process, and then you'll see exactly where my home page segues over into my podcasting, my blogging, my social media, my speaking, and it just points everything right back to the products and services. And you'll see that is the whole plan of my website, is to just take them right through the steps. Okay, does that make sense? And Sherry, great job. And I love your office position that way. She turned her office a little bit, so I love how that looks. She's got the plant
Thank you.
thing going on. If I take out my little pretend screen here, my virtual background on Zoom, I'm actually in my kitchen. You see my kitchen sink behind me. So, hey, whatever works. I love it.
I have a
Okay.
question.
I'm sorry.
I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned that in your website, you mentioned like giving back, and then you leverage it as a part of sales. So, I mean, I also do give back a lot, but I don't utilize it as a marketing material. Like, would it look more like would it? I mean, would it give an the customers, then they would think that, and even I like I do not feel like giving back needs to be expressed in a website like a corporate initiative sort of thing, but it definitely might give some marketing points. So do you think like it needs to be mentioned, or it should be done like in a very subtle, anonymous way?
I think it should be done, and you can be as subtle as you want. A lot of companies, like I was just online looking at a clothing company earlier today, and the clothing company, they donate for every sale, they donate so much toward cancer research. And I think everyone wants to give back, but many folks, they're not in a position financially to give back, but yet if they have to buy products and the products they're buying is giving back, it makes them feel like I bought from this company and this company is giving back. So therefore I'm giving back because I spent my money to help the company give back. And so that's how I started, was for everyone that joins my membership site, a certain portion of their membership fee goes around the world for fresh water and clothing and transportation and building schools, and you can actually look on my website to see where your money goes. because it's your money. If you're joining, and I'm talking to you like you were a member, but if you are joining my membership site, then it becomes your money that's doing these things. And it just, I think it just, it does two things. It makes me feel like I'm contributing to be a world citizen and not just stuck in my own little Ohio, Columbus, Ohio bubble. And I think because my academy is called the Kathy Benner International Academy, it gives me that international flavor that I'm looking for by donating around the world. So that's how I'm using it, not only to do good, but also I think it's a big plus for my business. It gives my business a mission.
Does it reduce the nobleness of the act, like utilizing it for marketing?
And I really don't utilize it as marketing as such. I mean, I don't lead with that in marketing, but if I'm talking to a large group and they say, what is it that you do? That's what I do is I'm raising funds to support all kinds of businesses and students around the world. And because I'm all about passive income, I choose the channels that have to do with either entrepreneur, solopreneurs, or education, because my academy is courses, which is education. So and the only thing outside education and entrepreneurship on my giving is fresh water. I do a fresh water initiative. Everything else is I'm giving back to education and entrepreneurship, because that's what I'm about. And it's part of my branding.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Yes,
thanks for the question. I appreciate that. Okay, Debbie, any aha moment?
Well, honestly, kind of already relayed some of the ahas that I've heard. But I also like the fact that you admitted how you appear before you, you know, finish, before you come out of the room. And that has been my philosophy forever. And and the same thing is the fact that the minute I get out of bed, I turn around and I make the bed. So I don't have to do it later on. But it's nice to hear how everybody is progressing and their aha moments, because I think we're all being here today. We're all in the same place. We're all ready to move on. So that's my aha.
Debbie, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Yes. Estella, how about you?
I think I thank you for the tip about, you know, getting ready in the morning. I go to bed at 2, so it's really kind of hard for me to do that in the morning, but I'll work on it. I go to bed at 2 and I get up at 7:30. But anyhow,
Oh my.
and sometimes later, you know, and still get up. But anyhow, what I appreciated was you're talking about the process. I think that's critical. Particularly for me in terms of working with my team members, giving them or whoever it is that I'm going to talk to information about what the process looks like, so that, you know, they'll want to explore more and that they don't feel like, you know, I can't do this, or, you know, because it's just things they've heard, but they don't know what the process is. So I'm going to work on that, putting together something that I can provide a process to help even buyers.
Oh, absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like the whole using a word as an acronym. You know, I kind of like that idea. Then you can assign the process to each letter and play around with that. And for those of you that haven't yet, and I'll just toss this out before we go. If you haven't yet, you can use ChatGPT. You can use some AI and ask AI to say, here's the process. Is there some acronyms that would go with my process that I could rename some of these steps and to make it fit an acronym? And ChatGPT will help you with that. You don't have to like use all your brain power to try to figure that out.
Right,
And
I
if
could
you
do that for
pay
both
for,
of.
sorry, Estelle, and if you pay for ChatGPT and you can pre-program it after your process is all together, that it knows what your process is and everything that you ask ChatGPT to work with you on from there on out, it will include your process terminology in those words.
Okay.
So what were you going to say, Estelle? Sorry.
I don't know now, but Debbie, did you get that?
I appreciate all of you being on. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
And again, every Monday we're on with a different topic, and you're all welcome to join. It's the same Zoom code every single Monday at noon. And then the only extra one is on the third Monday. We jump on a second time at 4 o'clock for our Fit as a Fiddle. And we have some great speakers coming up, and we're going to start the year off on Fit as a Fiddle with weight loss this season. And again, we're in the first 10 days of January, and January 10 is called Quitter's Day. Is everybody familiar with that? Okay, your first goal is to get past January 10. Don't quit. No matter what your goals are, make sure you get past January 10. You don't want to quit on Quitter's Day. Anyway, we'll see everybody again the first Monday of every month. We are talking about entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, and we're going to go through the program every single month. We're going to have a different topic, but you're welcome to join us any given Monday for all the different topics. And so KathyBinner.com is where you'll find my calendar, and you can click through right on the calendar right into the Zoom. So any other comments before we go?
I have one.
No, let's just have a
Sure,
productive.
Linda. Yeah, oh,
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Estella.
Oh, no, that's okay.
This is in
Linda, go
regard.
ahead, please.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I just said, Linda, go ahead, please.
Okay. This is in regard to getting ready in the morning. I don't know if any or all of you are familiar with Stephen Pressfield. He's a very, very famous writer, wrote a book called The War of Art. And he talks about resistance and being stuck in your tracks and not pursuing whatever your art is, whether it's dance, painting, writing a book, or whatever. But he literally puts on work boots every day to go sit at the computer and write.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Yes. And I discovered that if I can get totally ready, but if I don't put my shoes on, I still feel like if I'm still in my slippers, I still feel like I'm still in my PJs or whatever, and I'm not really ready for work. So I realized that I have to just get totally ready, even with the shoes. So thank you for that, Linda. Estella, did you have a last comment?
Not really, but when you said put your shoes on, well, I don't wear shoes in the house. I mean, people take their shoes off at the door, so
Okay.
I'm gonna have to leave the slippers on. But I do believe, getting dressed and putting on a little bit of eye makeup and would definitely. And you're right, when you're dressed, like if I have a meeting later on in the day, I get dressed in the morning, and it does give you a different attitude.
Yeah, you show up differently. And so I guess I want to encourage all of us, no matter what it is that our business is, where we're going, what we're doing, I want you to think about how you want to show up in the world. Decide how you want to show up and then show up that way every day because you are the brand. You are the brand. So when you're creating a business, you are the brand. So decide how you want to show up. So if you run to the grocery store and somebody goes, "Oh, are you Kathy Benner?" I don't have to like hide behind the bananas because I'm not ready to talk about my business because I'm looking really bad, you know, or I think I'm looking bad. So decide how you want to show up in the world. And I made the decision that I wanted to show up better in the world. And
Excellent point.
it's a
Comment with
decision. Yeah,
yeah.
Linda.
Some of you may know Mike Kim. I know you do, Kathy. He made up his mind years ago. Like he used to be like dressed really casual, you know, like a sweatshirt or just some kind of jogging, whatever. And he realized when he was going to speak, he wanted to dress the way he wanted to be photographed so that any photos that were taking of him when he was presenting looked great. And so he started wearing like a black leather jacket or a really sharp looking shirt or whatever. And so anything that went out there of him started looking really good. And if somebody took a picture of him that was great, he could use it as a profile or use it on his web page or whatever. Can't do that when you're in jogging clothes.
Nope, I agree. I agree. So decide how you want to show up in the world and then start showing up that way every day. And it'll be part of your brand. It'll be part of who you are. And you'll feel better for it. All right, folks, this has been a great call. I appreciate everyone. Again, see you on however many Mondays you want to jump on. I'll be here Mondays at noon and the third Monday again at 4. So we'll see everyone next time.
All
Bye,
right.
everybody.
Have a great week.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.